CQ, CQ Arizona, and welcome to another great edition of Ham Radio and More. I'm your host, Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and today's show is sponsored by the quality people and companies of Showtronics, Antennas West, Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Auto, and Wallpaper World. In our studio today, we have as guests Lee Pemberton, WB7BXB, Lynn Pemberton, KB7CWV, and Jeff Hanna, WB7RFY. They are here representing ARCA, and of course, welcome to all of you. They're all sitting here. We only have two microphones set up and three people, so they're got to bear with us a little bit. And we'll be talking about ARCA. We'll be talking about the Fort Tuthill Ham Fest next week, and we'll mention some other stuff. I want to thank each of you that have sent us a QSL card to the station this week. I received a bunch of them this week again, and I really appreciate the response, as does KFNN Radio. I also want to extend to those of you listening, though, that are not amateur radio operators, also send in a postcard or a letter. You know, you don't have to be an amateur radio operator in order to send us a postcard and enter into our weekly drawings. I'll be glad to enter you in the weekly drawing. Just send me a postcard. I'd like to hear from all you non-hams about what you think of the show and ham radio in general. And are you going to go? Are you planning to go for a license? If there's enough response, I'll be pleased to do a show on obtaining a license, including the procedures, test requirements, and more. So all you non-hams, get involved. Send in your cards, and you hams, send in your QSL cards to me, Len Winkler, KFNN Radio, 4800 North Central, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. Remember, I'll send you back a QSL card featuring KFNN and KB7LPW, and also enter you in our weekly drawings for prizes. Thanks again. During the week, I received a letter from Oliver, W7WGW, and I want to thank Oliver for the letter. It was well written, and he asked me to mention a couple of things that are recent developments. Oliver has taken over as president of the Arizona Amateur Radio Club due to the resignation of Dan Meredith, N7MRP. The new vice president is Jerry, WB7CLL, and they have two fantastic programs lined up for their August and September meetings. In August, they'll feature a video presentation from the ARRL headquarters, and in September, they'll have Al McCoy, the voice of the Phoenix Suns, and he'll be there to speak about many different topics, including, of course, broadcasting. The club meetings are held the second Thursday of the month at 7:30 p.m. at the Red Cross Building at 16th Street and Flower, just south of Osborne. All interested parties are encouraged to attend. Oliver, I'll get in touch with you later to discuss the Mingus Mountain repeater group. Remember, anyone wishing to have their club meetings and activities announced, send me a note. I'll be glad to pass them on, or better yet, why don't you give me a call at 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN-5366, and we'll be happy to air any of your coming upcoming club events, activities. If you have anything to buy or sell or trade, by all means, give us a call. Again, it's 241-1510. Or 1-800-293-5366. We'll be happy to take all of your calls. I want to take a moment to tell you about some future shows that we have, which are, I think, really, really exciting. Next week, our guest will be from California. His name is Joe Moel, K00OV, the author of Transmitter Hunting, Radio Direction Finding Simplified. We will discuss the sport, yeah, the sport of tea hunting, and also the fact that tea hunting has become part, of course, of the Friendship Games and may become someday part of the Olympics. He's trying to get that. It should be quite an interesting show. Wait to hear the types of tea hunts they have in California that take as long as a few days to finish. Then on August 4th, have I got a show for you guys. Al Gross, W8PAL, will be my guest live in studio. This will be the first of what may turn out to be many, many interviews with Al Gross. He has been inventing new electronic products since the age of 9. From the first, and I said the first, 300 megahertz walkie-talkie in 1936 to the 1990 Motorola cellular phone, to the current model of Motorola pagers, to actual spy work that he did in World War II. Mr. Gross has been involved and has many, many patents for these and other items. Yes, in fact, the U.S. Patent Court in 1955, in a unanimous decision, awarded Al Gross the priority of invention of the handheld walkie-talkie. This is only the beginning. Mr. Gross has products he designed orbiting the Earth and on the Moon. That's August 4th show. August 11th, we'll have the Explorer Post 599, and actually we have the three people in the studio today are all involved with Explorer Post 599, and what the youngsters in the hobby are doing. And then the last 2 weeks of August will feature in-depth discussions of the of Packet Radio with Dan Meredith. So listen each week for something interesting. Now I have one more thing to say, and then we'll go to our patiently waiting guests who are sitting there. I can't stress it enough. The only time I hear from customers after the sale is when they're dissatisfied. You know, that's true. You know, I have my own business, and the only time I ever hear from people is when they're complaining. I mean, when was the last time you called a company where you purchased something and told them how happy you were with their service or their prices or their selection? Have you ever done it? Has any one of you ever done it? Oh, Lynn's shaking her head. She's the only one that has in this group has ever called any place saying she was satisfied. Well, I can't say I do it very often. That's why it's so fantastic to hear that Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ, the fleet manager for Linda Brock, has an office filled with letters of praise, compliments, and thank yous. From the most sincere salesperson I ever dealt with to, it was the first time I ever had a no-hassle deal, and boy was I satisfied, to, I'll tell everyone I know about Ken, to the recent fellow ham, Ed Hughes, KX7P statement of, I went to the World Car Sales and others, and Ken saved me $2,500 or more on their so-called deals. Ken has treated his customers well enough to get all these letters and comments. It sure is refreshing to know that there's one man in the automobile industry that's honest, caring, and has the best prices anywhere on any vehicle you could possibly want. From a BMW to an Oldsmobile to Ed Hughes Buick Park Avenue to Volkswagen Dodge and many others to his great line of pre-owned vehicles, Ken Nichols has the right vehicle at the right price with the best service for you. So give Ken a call. Now, if what I just told you doesn't get you to call, nothing will, but you should call Ken today. 228-2336, 228-2336, and tell Ken you want a free, handsome Linda Brock white cap. He'll give you that free. 228-2336, fleet prices every day, direct to you. 228-2336. As most everybody knows, next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is the once-a-year ARCA-sponsored Fort Tuthill Ham Fest. My guests again, Lee and Lynn Pemberton and Jeff Hanna, are from ARCA, and they're involved in the Ham Fest. I want to repeat our phone number of 241-1510 if anybody has any questions, or 1-800-293-5366. First of all, Lee, since you're the chairman, give us a little information on who you are, and tell us a little about yourself and your position in ARCA.
Well, I've been an amateur radio operator for 15 years. And I've been off and on working with ARCA for about 8 years. Originally, I got called by Oliver Grieve back about in 84. He said, hey, we need a ARCA co-chairman. And at that point, I became involved with ARCA, you know, working with the HamFest. I did that 2 years in a row, and then got out of it and started working with the Explorer Post. And recently I got a call from ARCA again asking me to come in as chairman. Stan Van Pelt, I believe, was the one that originally called me. Mm-hmm. I went ahead and agreed to do so. Sometimes I wonder why, but it's an interesting position. Actually, I have the do-nothing position.
because you have everybody working for you.
That's right.
And I want, because all of you probably don't have your TVs on and watching this, Lynn just hit Lee. Go ahead.
Well, that's basically because I kind of pawn it off on her all the time.
I get the dirty jobs.
Well, as long as you get the job done. Well, okay, Lynn, tell us about yourself and what you do with ARCA. Get as close to the mic as possible, please.
Okay, I'm Lynn, KB7CWV, technician class license, and I've been a ham operator for 4 years. And how I became a ham is actually kind of interesting. My father is W7KNO. He's been a ham since before the time I was born, and I heard Morse code from the crib. Didn't get my license. He started teaching me code when I was 11 or 12 and never followed through with it. And then I met Lee here, who was a ham operator when I married him, so I finally figured if you can't beat him, join him. And I got involved with the Explorer Post in 1987, and the two girls, the only girls in a group of 53 youth members, convinced me, hey, we need a female advisor, get your license. And so the two girls cajoled me into taking my novice test and getting my license. And that's what hooked me on ham radio, and I've been gung-ho ever since.
Just on a personal note, how long have you guys been married?
9.5 years.
Oh, okay, so it took 5 years before you got your license.
That's right.
You didn't push too hard.
No.
Okay.
No, well, in the beginning he did. Even though I wasn't a ham, I did help out with the Ham Fest of 1984 and 85. I did all the paperwork in the organization and tried to make him look good, so...
Okay. All right.
We work pretty well as a team.
All right. Jeff, let's talk about you. Give us a little biography.
Thank you, Lynn. I'd like to start with thanking you for providing the Arizona amateur radio community with this service. I think it's unique to our area and something that's unmatched anywhere else in the country.
Thank you.
Personally, I've been licensed approximately 14 years. I became interested in ham radio through an old Explorer post that was active in the Phoenix Valley at that time. Since that time, been very active in public service, disaster communications, basically trying to give back for everything that I've received, as I think many of us have, from the hobby of amateur radio, which becomes more of your life.
Okay. Well, that tells us a little about you guys. Now, tell us, everybody has heard of ARCA. What is ARCA? I mean, you know, I belong to probably almost every separate club in this city, from the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club to ARA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what is ARCA?
Well, to be a member of ARCA, really all you have to be is is a member of a club that is a member of ARCA. Mm-hmm. ARCA is nothing more than a council that pools ideas together throughout the state of all the clubs.
What does the acronym stand for exactly?
Oh, that's
Arizona
Council of Arizona. That's right.
Amateur Radio Council of Arizona.
Okay.
Don't know our own names here.
See, and then you expect everybody else to know what
that's
ARCA
right.
is.
Mm-hmm.
We often end up, we hear a lot of, ARA and ARCA are the same. ARA is the Arizona Repeater Association. We are the Amateur Radio Council of Arizona. Big difference.
Okay. Go ahead.
Basically...
She set us right.
That's right. Basically, to become a member of ARCA is to write us, and I should have our address here. I don't have it, just a bit. Okay. To go ahead and write us at Post Office Box 32756, Attention Lynn Pemberton, in Phoenix, Arizona, and the zip code's 85064-2756.
So if you want to be a member, per se, of ARCA, you can join?
No, you have to be a club.
Oh, you have to be a club. So
that's
in other
right.
words, you're putting that out for any clubs out there.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Now, the clubs join, and they then send a representative to us to participate in the decision-making of different items down the line. Such as how we're going to be running the Ham Fest. We have a Spring Ham Fest that we also sponsor, as well as many statewide activities.
Is there going to be one this next year? A spring ham fest?
Yes.
And who's going to be running that one?
That's a decision of next year's committee.
Oh, it has not been decided.
That's
yet.
Right.
Oh, okay.
There are two or three clubs that
I
have
thought we could get it out here first. You know, I
there's
thought
two clubs.
Two clubs bidding.
There's two clubs at this time bidding for the position of going ahead and taking over that spring ham fest.
Okay.
Scottsdale cannot do it this year due to the fact that they are going to be running the
Southwest Conference.
That's correct. What?
The decision on which club will run the Ham Fest, the Spring Fest, it will be made at the ARCA meeting that will be held at the Fort Tuthill Ham Fest.
Oh, so everybody should attend that, or everybody that can.
Yeah, well, actually, visitors are welcome as long as there's room.
And what time is your meeting?
Our meeting this year is typically at 11 o'clock.
All the papers are being shuffled
here. The next meeting will be at Fort Tuthill. It'll be Saturday, July 27th, 4 p.m. Generally, we have them at 11 in the morning on Sundays, usually one a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they're announced in our newsletter that goes out to each one of the representatives. It's the representative's responsibility at that point to inform their members of our activities and how they voted or how they would like them to vote at the next meeting.
What year did ARCA become formed?
We're not really positive, but we know it was sometime in the early 40s.
Okay, and how many clubs belong?
At this time,
25 member clubs are current right now.
Are there any clubs in the local Phoenix, and I wouldn't mention them necessarily, but are there any clubs in the local Phoenix area that, you know, that I've probably heard of that are not members?
Not that I know of. I believe that the majority of the clubs in Phoenix are ARCA members.
Actually, Phoenix and Tucson.
And Tucson.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any from Flagstaff?
We don't know of any right at the moment. We're trying to contact as many of the clubs as possible to try to get them involved. Their voice counts, and we really need that input from all sides of the state.
Okay, so aside from the Fort Tuthill Ham Fest and aside from the Scottsdale Ham Fest, what else does ARCA do?
Well, we have different committees, one of which is the Repeater Owners Committee, which we sponsor. Most people are not aware of that, and generally they just run their own meeting, but we back them if they have problems. However, in the past 8 years, I've never seen them have any problems. So
okay. There's always the beginning of one.
Right. We also will back anybody that wants to put together a ham fest of their own or a club. We have liability insurance that will cover them.
Did you get involved with the one that's in Fort Huachuca?
Kara's not personally a member, but we are discussing it.
Okay.
There is a Tucson Ham Fest that we work with, as well as... is the Prescott involved in that or not? I don't remember if they are. I guess not. Okay.
All right. Okay. What else does ARCA do? You've got the repeaters. You've got this. How long do your meetings last? What else are you talking about? I want to get this all out in the open.
We also sponsor the Ham of the Year Award. And
I know who was the winner in 1990 and 1989. Oh, no. 1990, I know.
Well,
that was Lee.
Anyhow, and that is a pretty prestigious award. There are several people that have received it. What it is we ask the different clubs to go ahead and nominate someone for Ham of the Year. At that point, the nominations, the letters of nomination, are sent to the last 10 Ham of the Years, where they make a vote on who it's going to be. From there, the ballots are sent back to the secretary, and then she or he will take care of the award.
Okay. And how long have they been giving out these awards?
We had something like 25 listed names that we know of. So that would probably go back about 25, 26 years.
Okay. Well, that would be a prestigious list. Is it ever published or anything, just to get an idea of who they are?
Generally not. It might be wise sometime to get that list out and let everybody know.
It would be interesting
to
see. I mean, you know, let's get it out. You don't have it with you, though, huh?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. I should have brought it.
Oh, Lynn. Come on.
I could name off the last 10.
No, that's all right. I just thought if someone had it, that would be fun. Okay. What other things do you guys do? I mean, give us a whole... You have any?
We often make donations for various causes that benefit amateur radio.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, this year, we had a club will come to us who is doing a special activity. One of the grants that we did vote upon, Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club came to us and said, hey, we would like a grant to help set up an emergency packet station at the Red Cross, a permanent station so that we can get out in communications during the disasters. It would be there for, you know, them to use. And the group voted on it. I don't remember the dollar amount at this point. I don't really think that's important, but there are cases where ARCA will go ahead and by the members' vote, go ahead and give funds to support these projects.
And those funds are taken from the fact that all the clubs that belong pay some kind of dues, right?
That and what revenue we get from the Fort Tuthill Ham Fest. So Jeff could probably better explain that, being the treasurer.
Aha, the money man.
Unfortunately, sometimes. Yeah, the grant program ARCA has in effect is there is a safeguard for all of our member clubs and non-member as well. In the event of an emergency, a disaster, something personal for the club, if the club doesn't have the revenues to repair one of their vital repeater links or operable HF station that they use for traffic passage, the resources are there from a central location to provide them with the means to continue the operations to promote amateur radio.
Okay.
Last year, we contributed to the Tower Fund that was based on the gentleman down in Tucson who was told to take down his tower after a housing group told him that there was a problem with the being non-aesthetic. And so we donated several hundred dollars to that so that he could legally fight the problem. As it turns out, the poor guy is back in battling with another neighbor now.
Mm. Oh, that was in Tucson, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, right. So they're still fighting it out? It hasn't been concluded yet?
With that first gentleman, yes.
Oh, okay.
The second one, they just started another neighbor into it.
Oh, gee. Well, okay, well, it's good that we have an organization. Do most states have an organization like that, a parent club of all the little clubs? Or shouldn't say little, necessarily.
I'm not sure about other states. I do know that California has two or three councils for their various areas. They have a lot more groups than we do, so they need more councils. But I do know that they have three, according to the ARRL Southwest Division Director who resides in California.
Does ARCA send any representatives to an ARRL meeting somewhere? I mean, do we do things like that? Oh, why are you all laughing at me?
Well, normally they do not pick up the expenses, but we are expected to show up at the ARRL forums.
Okay. It's interesting.
And they send their Southwest representative down to most of our ham fests, the Spring Ham Fest and the Fort Tuthill Ham Fest. Just about every year you can count on one or more of the ARRL directors.
Yeah, Bernie's usually there, and Freed.
Freed's always there, right.
Okay, well, they'll probably be there this coming next week, right?
Definitely.
And, of course, we're going to get into the Ham Fest per se in the next half hour, but that's I would expect everybody out there to at least be up there for one day. We have a trivia question so that we can give away an item of some sort here, and we'll give away a tiger's tail. So let's see what trivia question Lee and Lynn and Jeff has brought with us. who wants to give us a trivia question.
Okay. What year did Barry Goldwater receive the Ham of the Year Award?
Oh, my God, that's easy. Our number is 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-5366. And the first person to answer the question will receive an Antennas West sponsored Tiger's Tail. And you know the Tiger's Tail absolutely works. In fact, I have a letter here from George Chayet, W1RGH. And he says, "Dear Lynn, I received a Tiger Tail from Antennas West, which I won from my result of my QSL card being picked at random. And I've tried it only once or twice, but the results are absolutely excellent." So that tells you. And plus, if you guys remember, we took it to John Moore's home and tested it out on his spectrum analyzer, and it increased the gain of our 2-meter HT between 2 and 4 dB on transmit and receive. And anything which I'm holding up so all of you guys can look at it, anything this simple that works, I mean, come on, you guys. And I'm sure that Jim Stevens from Antennas West will have plenty of them on sale at Fort Tuttle. And anybody who has not won one, I expect you guys to pick them up, because it absolutely works. And you might as well get the full output of your HT. And it looks like we have a winner. So let's go to the phones here. George, N7IOG, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Well, thank you very much. I happen to be the disaster chairman for the Red Cross, and I heard you guys talking about ARCA's contribution. I want to take the opportunity to thank them for that that grant. It was actually made to the Arizona Amateur Radio Club, and we have gotten a public service bulletin board on the air. It seems to be running pretty well. It's on 5.05. Just last week, we added a telephone modem port, which will open up shortly. And as a added incentive or feature of their contribution, we're using that radio and part of the other equipment to implement a emergency satellite communication system in conjunction with NASA. Some people might already know that NASA and some of their satellites, I believe it's the AST-3 right now, has a couple frequencies open for emergency communications, and Red Cross is one of these agencies that can use it. When we get this operational, it will be available not only to the Red Cross, but any other local or national agencies that might be participating in this particular emergency. So I want to thank ARCA very much.
And I want to thank you for calling and participating. Everybody here thanks you for calling. Is that right?
That's true.
I mean,
that's right.
You know,
it's good to hear what's going on with it.
With their money, right?
Well, actually, we all thought it was a worthy cause. That's the reason why the whole group voted it to be granted. We're always supportive of the Red Cross.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, George, for participating.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye. I need to tell everybody that although I thought we had a winner, we actually do not have a winner. So we still need a winner at 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. I saw the lines light up, so I thought everybody got in with the correct answer. We need to know in what year that the former governor, Barry Goldwater, was named Ham of the Year. And we're still waiting for a correct answer. We've got a couple more calls, but I see nobody, again, has the answer. So I know that on line one I have, welcome Jim Stevens. How are you?
Hey, great, wonderful. Good to hear the program from up here. I wish we could tune in every Sunday.
I wish that was possible, and we're trying to work on it, but we have not succeeded in that yet. It takes a long time to get it nationwide. But how is Antennas West? This is Jim Stevens, KK7C from Antennas West.
Well, really great. We've had a good week. You know, one of the fun things about being in this business is, you know, I hang on the phone quite a bit during the day, and you have people call up with all kinds of questions. You know, hams stuck in all sorts of situations, and it's just fascinating to see what possibilities there are for getting an antenna in there so that that good ham can satisfy his urge to talk to the world. But frankly, the week's been real fun because of that.
So you've got a lot of questions. Everybody's having problems on how to put up an antenna.
Well, yeah, you know, there's the small space problem. The good person retiring, selling his home on an independent lot, or, you know, moving into a condominium somewhere, and all the sorts of problems that are associated with keeping antennas out of sight and still have them be functional. You know, we hear lots of problems, and it's fun to kind of work through what can possibly be done in those situations. So that's part of the satisfaction of this business, actually.
I understand. This coming weekend, of course, is for Tut Hill, and I know that you, as well as your company, Antennas West, plans to be there. You're going to present on Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning a seminar on what's new in HF antennas. And what are you going to be discussing in that seminar?
Well, basically in that seminar, we'll just try to run through what new wrinkles there are. The laws of physics haven't changed. But
they haven't? Everything else has changed.
They really haven't changed, so in a sense there's nothing new, and on the other hand, there are a lot of new little things, because as materials change and as problems change, we sometimes go back to some of the old ideas, you know, right back to what Heinrich Hertz used for his first receiving antenna, you know, and by golly, there's the answer to a new problem, which wasn't a problem before, and therefore nobody's been using his antenna, you know. And so, part of the excitement, you know, of this seminar here is to just look at what's new in multibanding techniques, what's new with low profile DX antennas, you know, all the discussion of the towers and whether they're beautiful or ugly, and so forth. Sometimes you can sidestep the issue by having something that doesn't even appear to anybody, and yet it does the function you want.
Okay.
They can't judge it ugly if they can't see it, you know?
That's true. I know I was reading, I think it was CQ Magazine, the brand new issue, and it has a picture of somebody who had one in a flower pot. It's on one of the first couple pages, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of interesting to hide it. You don't sell flower pot antennas now, do you?
Well, no, but that certainly did trigger an idea. Apparently, the history of those flower pots was that those were part of a system that was dropped in the jungles by the United States during World War II, with the hope of listening in on the movements of the Japanese.
Uh-huh. Well, if anybody out there, while I have Jim on the phone, if anybody out there has a question about antennas and wants to ask them before next week, by all means, give us a call at 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. And I still believe we have not received a correct answer for the year. There's been more guesses, but no one has come up with the right one on what year Barry Goldwater was made Ham of the Year. Hint. What is the hint? Oh, that's too easy. Okay, so just keep calling and keep Ray busy answering, giving wrong answers. What kind of products, Jim, are you going to have at our Ham Fest here in Fort Tut Hill next week?
Well, we're going to use Fort Tut Hill as the launch for a new series of HT pouches, hip pouches and chest packs, so that they can be worn without using your hands. That's particularly useful in situations of public service. When George called in, that reminded me of one of the great pushes that we felt to develop such a product. Basically, they're used by mountain climbers, rescue teams, and so forth. And right here in our valley, there's a rescue team that goes up to one of the state parks and mans it all during the summer, whenever the park is open, because so many people suffer from exposure or fall off a cliff or do something like that up there. It's about every 2 or 3 days there's some kind of disaster, and the hams man an emergency communication support group for the medics and so forth that are on this alert all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we have packs that can be worn on the chest. You don't have to even press the button to talk when you wear them, because they're close enough and Vox operated. A mic right on the HT, not having to tie it onto your head even, makes it so you can communicate while you're rappelling up the hill or down with somebody on your back.
I think you've come up with a winning item.
Yeah, they're really nifty. We did some market testing by wearing them when we went to various ham fests, and people keep asking, where can I get one of those? And now we've got them available, and this will be the real launch of it at Fort Tuthill.
Okay. I have a phone call on line two, and let me see who that is and see if he has a question for you, Jim, or not. Hold on, please.
Hello?
Hi, Abram, KB7LXK. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Thanks. I called before when the program was first heard on the air.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my question is, now this is not a ham question, but this is like a CV question.
Okay,
I have a little, I used to have a portable walkie-talkie thingy.
Yes.
But I used to talk a lot on it. And what I'm wondering is, what kind of antenna do I need so I can talk skip on it?
On a walkie-talkie?
Yeah.
On CB?
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible.
Or a portable ham radio, because I know they make such things.
Okay, hold on a second.
Okay.
Okay, Jim.
The possibility of working skip is increased, obviously, if you run a little more power than the normal walkie-talkie has. But the key to it all is to actually have an antenna that gives you low-angle radiation and is pretty much in the clear. And we do make an antenna which you could use with your radio. It really needs to be a full-size antenna to get the full benefits of for DX skipping. But it's called the half square. And the dimensions of it are, you'd hang it like a dipole between two trees or two supports, and it would be about 18 feet long, which is roughly the size of a dipole. And you would be fed with coax that you would attach in the place of the flex antenna that's on your handheld CB unit.
Okay.
Can do it.
Does that answer what else would you like to know?
Yeah, no, that answers my question, but
were you going to use the walkie-talkie as a base, or I mean, would you were trying to call get skip as you were walking?
Just talk, skip, because I always want to talk skip.
Okay.
One thing I want to say is that I enjoy your program. I wish your program would be longer.
Well, me too, but unfortunately, at least we have an hour. That's more than I think any other city in the United States has for an amateur radio show on public airways. So I thank you for calling, though.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for participating.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we still do not have a winner on the year that Barry Goldwater was elected or picked out as the Ham of the Year. 241-1510. Come on, guys. You got to guess this one. Take a moment. I have one of the first real IBM ATs from 1984. I own it. It's still working great, but it has an old it had an old CGA monitor and card and only 512 RAM in it, so it didn't really run the stronger and new program. So since I wanted to just upgrade my system and not purchase a new one, I called the only company in the valley to call. That was, of course, Showtronics. I was told by Alan Shope of Showtronics to bring it in, and they'll do whatever is necessary, and I can pick it up later in the day, and I'd have a new, more powerful, more RAM, better monitor, etc. So I went Friday morning, 9:15, By the way, I met a fellow ham that was there picking up a free box of diskettes for mentioning the show while he was there, and he bought a couple of computer cables. That was great. Dennis, the showroom manager, wrote up my order very quickly, and he took me to the service center. We signed some paper, and I left. I was called in a few hours about a problem that the old IBM AT had with the motherboard from lack of space, and was given some options. I agreed to one of the options, and at 4 o'clock I went back to Showtronics and picked up my computer and the new monitor. The work done was superb, the people extremely courteous, extremely knowledgeable, and I love my new monitor. It's a nice VGA monitor, and what a world of difference from CGA. The cost was very, very low to upgrade to full power, and it was very done very quickly, and I now have over a meg of RAM in there. I also took a tour of their new assembly line, which I'll tell you more about next week. Suffice to say, though, Showtronics has it all and does it all. With over 15 systems on display and all the trained, knowledgeable employees, and of course, with the absolute lowest prices anywhere, Showtronics is the only place to shop for computer equipment. Remember, free classes are given for beginners every Saturday, and free advanced classes on Tuesdays are given by the owner, Alan Shope. And a free box of diskettes are given just for mentioning ham radio and more. So stop in. Go there today. They're open 7 days a week, not like some of their competitors that are open 5 days like banker's hours. They're open 7 days a week, and they have 24-hour and they have 24-hour support. That's Showtronics, 1831 West Rose Lane, north of Bell off 19th Avenue. That's 256-2266, 256-2266, Showtronics. The more you know about computers, the better Showtronics looks. And don't forget to get your free box of diskettes while you're there. Let's talk about Jim, if you want to stay with us, I'd appreciate if you do. Maybe there'll be some more questions. In fact, there is. So we're going to get on to Tut Hill, but we have a question from somebody in Mesa. Now let me get this. Okay, Erna?
Hello?
Hi, you have a question?
There's many smart men and the lady that know all about the radio. I have a Magnavox and listen to the classical music from Tucson. And my neighbors and further up several blocks, they try so hard, but they cannot receive it. What can there be done?
Does anybody have an answer?
Actually, possibly going to an outside antenna to your FM receiver. The other thing is there may be some large obstacle, such as a mountain or a large building in the way.
There's no mountain, but the houses are all similar.
Okay. Chances are either she has cable or she has an outside antenna hooked up to her FM receiver.
Do you know if she has an exterior, an outside antenna?
I don't know that.
But see,
I only know that we have one under the roof.
You do have one.
We have, you know, for the TV?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that's not the same antenna.
That's under the roof. It's not outside. It's under the roof.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think if you want to get further stations, you're going to need to put it on top of the roof and as high as possible.
But mine works perfect. Mine works perfect for years. And that contributes to that station because they are the only station, can you imagine, that in a beautiful state of Arizona, only one classical music station supported by the people.
Well,
that's a business that really cries out for.
Well,
my friends who wanted it to end me for the receiving it and to try it in every way. I said,
okay, well, the only thing I can suggest is an antenna outside. Jim, do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, my reaction would be to suggest, I'm not sure how large your Magnavox radio is. Is it very large physically?
Well, I bought it about 20 years ago or so.
Yes, okay.
You know this square ones?
Yeah. You know, sometimes, even though we can't see any reason why, Even in the same neighborhood, some people can hear things that others cannot. But it's probably in your radio. The difference is probably in your radio. And if it is not inconvenient, you could actually carry your radio to her house and try it and see if it worked there. If it did...
I want to mention that when you say that. I take mine because I want to listen in the night, and I take it to my bedroom. I don't hear it there either.
I see.
It's so
then,
spooky, I tell you. I've often wanted to talk to somebody.
Okay. Erna, we're going to have to go because we've got more callers and some other information. Jim, you want to give a last word?
Yeah, then what we see, Erna, is that you have found what's often called a sweet spot, a lucky place to listen, and you are most fortunate. And I would suggest that you advise your neighbor to do roughly the same thing, to try in different places in her house. And then if she does have a radio which will accept an external antenna, then there are external antennas which could be put on the roof and would increase her reception remarkably.
You buy them in the music store. Where do you buy those?
I think you would find them in the music store. Our company also can provide something along that line.
If you'd like, Erna, do you have a pencil there?
Yeah.
Okay, 1-800...
1-800...
926...
926...
7373.
7373.
And that is, you'll get Antennas West, was it Jim Stevens, and his Mr. Antenna Man to me. There's nothing about antennas that Jim doesn't know. Well,
Mr. Stevens.
Yeah, right.
Does he have a shop?
Well, he has a factory.
It's a factory.
Right.
Oh, good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for calling.
Very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, let's get into Fort Tuthill. Where is it?
That's in Flagstaff.
Okay, how do we drive there?
You would, okay. It's the same exit as the airport exit, only the opposite side of Interstate 17. So it would be the west side of I-17.
Mm-hmm.
That would be exit 337, and you head over to Highway, I believe it's 89A. It's just right across the way over there. You have to cross the 89 and right straight into the Fort Tuthill Fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
We will have it at the Fort Tuthill Fairgrounds. We have you'll see the large building and a great big water tower, and you can't miss it.
Okay, and what time does it start?
It starts Friday afternoon at 12 noon.
At 12 noon, okay. So all the no exhibitors will be there. The commercial building will be closed till noon.
That's true. That's correct, yes.
And what time is it over on Friday?
It ends at 6...
5 o'clock on
five
Friday.
O'clock,
right. 5 o'clock on Friday. Just... chime in. Okay, so right there, Jim, you got to work from noon to 5 on Saturday on Friday.
Well, looks like we have a good long drive on Thursday night.
You were there last. Were you there last year?
No, this will be my first time. I'm eager to do it.
Okay, well, we're eager to see you there. There's how many commercial exhibitors there this year?
Commercial exhibitors.
Cliff Hauser in Tucson has all of that current information. Most of the indoor booths, about half of them are dedicated to the clubs and the other half to commercial exhibitors. I can name a few, but I don't know all of them for you.
Well, just about how many are there going to be? About 30 or?
Not that many. Probably 8 to 9 commercial exhibitors,
okay.
And the remainder would be the clubs around Arizona.
Okay, and about how many people are expected to attend?
Well, last year we had 6,000, so if that gives you any idea.
This year there'll be 7,000. I hope you're bringing 7,000 tiger's tails.
Yeah.
We don't want you to be short, you know. Okay. Well, we have another call.
Build them here, and we may have to catch more tigers.
Well, I know the one I have in studio has a red tiger, a red end tip to it, but I know the new improved one has yellow. Okay, hold on 1 second. Let's get...
Hello?
Okay, Bill and 7FWG, you're on Ham Radio and More.
Yes, is that Len?
Yes, it is.
Fine, fine. Just stumbled across your program last week.
Uh-huh.
We just were new in the area.
Where'd you come from?
San Diego.
Okay, not too far away. That's where we're supposed to go in the summer. You're not supposed to come to Phoenix in the summer.
Well, I know. We lived in Phoenix before, so it's a matter of family. And we're getting kind of old. We're the pushing 70-ish here.
Okay, well, what can do for you?
I'm in a little apartment, and I'm trying to get rid of a lot of the old odds and ends.
Okay, do you want to...
Some in the trash, in the dumpster, so...
Want to list some items then for sale?
Yeah, I got a few old computers, a couple old Vic 20s and stuff like that. I don't know if anybody's interested or not in that.
Uh huh. Okay, what else?
Old Timex. Let's see, I got a bunch of old catalogs dating from the 20s and early 30s.
Okay.
Got a bunch of 78 records.
Okay.
Is 1908 on.
And
what have I got here? Oh, I got a bunch of other stuff, just miscellaneous.
Okay, and your phone number? Your phone number?
It's 924.
Uh-huh.
5694.
924-5694.
Yes, sir.
If you're interested, anybody out there is interested in buying some of Bill's equipment, N7FWG, give him a call. And I thank you, Bill, for stumbling upon KFNN AM 1510 and listening to Ham Radio and More. And please listen each and every week. We'll have some unusual and interesting subjects each week, hopefully.
We're going to try real hard. We don't have a car, so it limits my mobility here. But
okay.
Okay, well, thanks an awful lot, Len.
Thanks for calling. Hope you get some calls. Bye-bye. Okay, I need to take a moment to talk about Wallpaper World. Are you moving into a new house tomorrow? Or you need something on your windows immediately? Go to Wallpaper World at 3006 West Thomas Road. Talk to Sandy, the manager there, and mention Ham Radio and More. And get your custom-made aluminum mini blind or vinyl or fabric vertical blind made while you wait at no extra charge. That's right, they'll make it while you wait. From a custom-made aluminum mini blind for $9.95 and vertical starting at $26.04 at their location at 3006 West Thomas, they have them make you a while-you-wait blind. They are the only place in the valley to offer this sensational service. And for duet shades, wood blinds, pleated shades, and of course wallpaper, there's no better place than Wallpaper World. With 6 locations in the valley, they are the largest independent retailer of wallpaper in the area. The reason they can say we will beat any price on any wallpaper from any wallpaper book sold in America is because they buy direct from the factories. Just give them a try. You'll be happy you did. Wallpaper World, the lowest prices every day. They have a store in Mesa at Stapley and Southern, a store in Chandler at Elliott and Dobson Road, in Scottsdale, one block south of Camelback on Scottsdale Road, Northeast Phoenix, 40th Street and Greenway, Northwest Phoenix, 43rd Avenue and Bell, and the While You Wait location, 3006 West Thomas Road, Wallpaper World, where selecting decorating products is indeed an enjoyable experience. And now I'd like somebody there, one of you guys, pick out a card here. No one has won, by the way. We're going to give you a hint for those of you out there to get me Barry Goldwater's year that he was the Ham of the Year. And the hint is it had something to do with a bicentennial. Okay. Oh, this is very interesting. We have a card that has just been pulled and will win a Sundrop T-shirt. The winner is Mark McFadden, KB7LPR. Mark, you have won a Sundrop T-shirt. Congratulations. And you know that Sundrop is Arizona's Goodwill Ambassador for Arizona. Now, come on, Lynn. Isn't that a cute sundrop.
I love it.
See, she
loves it.
It's really cute. It's orange. It has a red head on
it. It definitely attracts attention.
Okay. It's really good. And Mark, you, I know, will wear it proudly. And if you want more information on sundrop, give them a call at 275-7450. 275-7450. It's everything good that's happening in Arizona, the sundrop. How long has Fort Tuthill Hamfest been in, been taking place?
Well, that also started about the same time that ARCA started, towards the mid-40s, around in that area. I do not believe it was first held at Fort Tuthill, but it moved there very quickly. About that time, Fort Tuthill was a training base, and so... then they changed it over as a to gave it to the Coconino County as a fairground.
Okay, unbelievable. We have a winner.
Oh, could it have been the clue?
I might have been. okay, Brenda. Brenda?
Yes.
Hi. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Hi. Thank you.
You're on the air with Jim Stevens. Now, Brenda, what is the year that Barry Goldwater won the Ham of the Year Award?
1976.
And you knew that. It wasn't my clue that helped.
No.
No, of course not. do you plan to attend Fort Tuthill this weekend?
Yes.
Okay. What I want you to do is to go to the, would this be okay, Jim? I imagine it would. To go to the Jim Stevens Antennas West booth and pick up your free tiger's tail?
Yeah.
Do it that way. I'd love to see you.
Okay, great.
Introduce yourself, Brenda, to Jim, and he'll be interested. He'll show you personally the proper use of how to use the tiger's tail.
Okay.
And it really works. It will work for your HT. Okay, Brenda.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Brenda. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It took us a while, Jim, but we did get a winner.
Well, that's great. I needed the clue, too.
Well, every week, you know, we have a trivia question. This one went the longest. We've never had one that went this long. There's going to be exams at VE exams?
Yes.
And they're going to take place when?
They'll take place starting at 8 o'clock on to 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday.
No pre-registration needed?
I'm not absolutely positive of that, but Scottsdale does have quite a bit of added tests, so I think they can handle quite a bit of walk-in.
The NOCO test will obviously be given?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I've been reading all kinds of reports that there are many, many people taking advantage of that no-code change.
And, in fact, several of them are becoming coming on the air at this time.
Uh-huh.
Several of the licenses have been issued. We've been hearing more and more of them on
those
the air.
New calls, NR or NS or N something or other, they're coming on. I know I hear them on 2 meters every so often. Okay, so what is the charge to get into Tuthill?
For walk-ins, there's no charge.
Ah, I didn't know that. It's free. Okay, bring a lot of people, all the kids. Is there going to be food there?
Yes, there will be.
Okay.
We will have, what is their name?
Anderson's Catering Service, and they will do sit-down, breakfast, lunch, and dinner,
uh-oh,
and an ice cream booth.
Jim, you don't need to bring your own food.
Wow, it sounds like we'll be able to survive in style.
And did you say that all the food for the commercial vendors are free?
No, we didn't say
that. Uh-huh. I tried, Jim.
Well, thanks.
Okay, let's see. There's going to be some prizes, door prizes given away?
Not really door prizes.
But raffles.
There'll be raffles, right. Several different ones. There'll be a women's club.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I appreciate all my guests, Lynn and Lee Pemberton and Jeff, and I appreciate Jim Stevens for hanging on and being with us. I want to thank all my sponsors again, Ken Nichols, Showtronics, Antennas West, and Wallpaper World, keep sending those QSL cars and your regular cars to Unanium. Send them in to Len Winkler, KFNN, 4800 North Central, Phoenix, 85012. And listen next week on your way home from Tuthill for Joe Moell as we discuss the sport in amateur radio, tea hunting, etc. Thanks again for listening. This is Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and we'll be clear till next week. 73's Arizona. See you at Tuthill.